This is a special announcement for 4 days only. I am so excited to announce that the doors to Food Freedom Academy are officially open after months of being closed, and the applications are open just for 4 days. So if you're listening to this right now between Monday, May 20th and Thursday, May 23rd, and you've considered getting support to help you heal your relationship with food, to reconnect to your body, to become an intuitive eater, to learn how to stop dieting without completely losing control and feeling lost and feeling really bingy, then this is your chance to reach out to get the support, the community, the resources that you need in order to make your intuitive eating journey more smooth, more supported, and more confident in the steps that you're taking. So this is all I'll say about this. So if you want to apply for Food Freedom Academy, head over to sabrinamagna.com/apply, or you can also find that link in the show notes. I'll talk to you soon. What most people think intuitive eating is and what intuitive eating actually is are two completely different worlds. And often it's like comparing apples to oranges. And this is why. Welcome to the Live Unrestricted podcast, a show where you'll learn how to heal your relationship with food and your body so that you can focus your time and energy on more important things like your personal growth. I'm your host, Sabrina Magna, food freedom coach, and my mission is to help make your life happier and healthier without stress, overwhelm, or guilt about food. If you love the show, please do go out and share it. And if you're looking for support with your relationship with food, details about my programs are in the show notes. Thanks for spending time with me today. Now let's jump in. Okay, I literally never know how to start these podcasts, but welcome back. I'm so happy that you're joining me today, because today I am giving you more clarity and confidence around what it actually looks like to become an intuitive eater. So we're going back to the roots of intuitive eating 101. So if you're someone, whether you are already familiar with intuitive eating, you've been practicing or trying to practice the principles for maybe weeks or months or years, you've been listening to this podcast for a while now, or maybe you've heard the term, but you don't really know what it means, or maybe even you're like completely new to it, it doesn't matter, because this episode is going to be valuable for you no matter what stage of your intuitive eating journey you're at. The reason why I'm doing this episode is twofold. One is because I'm currently working and finalizing all of the content and the trainings and the workbooks for my 3-day free intuitive eating challenge. So yes, it is back by popular demand. This is one of my most powerful, in-depth, action-packed, community-filled trainings that I do absolutely free. So that is happening. It's starting on May 9th. So if you haven't gone through it, run, do not walk, to the show notes where you're going to find the link, sabrinamagna.com/challenge, where you can enroll. It's absolutely free of charge. I do this from the goodness of my heart, because I know how many women, how many of you are still struggling with food, with your relationship with food, with overeating, guilt, thinking about food constantly. And I know how much it takes over your life, like literally every single area of your life, because I've been there and I have so many tools. I have so much knowledge that is literally flowing out of my brain at all times of the day, and I want to be able to share it with you. So if you've never gone through this challenge, head over to the show notes and sign up. And if you have gone through this challenge, or you've gone through one of my free workshops in the past, I highly encourage that you join again this time around, because the content is going to be new. The exercises are going to be new. There's going to be so much energy. And even if you're learning something for the second time, research shows that sometimes you have to hear something 7 times in order for it to sink in. And I know that to be true, because I am part of a bunch of group coaching programs where there's online courses and trainings and all of that. And I've had to watch those trainings like 5-6 times. And every time I watch them, I hear something different. I integrate what I'm learning more and more, and it's becoming natural and part of me. And a big part of intuitive eating is for it to become part of you, for eating to become natural. And so you don't want to just learn knowledge. You want to take knowledge and you want to apply it and integrate it into your life. So whether you've gone through my intuitive eating challenges in the past, or this is your brand new first time joining, head over to the show notes and sign up at sabrinamangal.com/challenge, because this is truly going to be the best one yet. I'm so excited about all of the content and the trainings that I've created. I'm bringing new things in. So it will be so much fun. But the reason why I'm doing this episode and I'm coming back to the roots is because as I've been talking to some people in my life who have struggled with their relationship with food, with disordered eating, people who probably have never heard about what I do and about intuitive eating, I realize how many misconceptions and misinformation there is around intuitive eating. There's so many things that people believe that it is, like it's just eat whatever you want, whenever you want, without any regards to health. There's all of this fear that, oh my God, I'm going to become super unhealthy and I'm going to gain weight. And if you're feeling that way, I want you to know that there's nothing wrong with you for thinking that, and that I totally get it. Like there's so much fear that surrounds letting go of dieting, letting go of restrictions and of control. And in the past, you have probably experienced that every time that you've gone quote unquote off a diet, it's just like spiraled out of control and you felt terrible physically and mentally. So when you hear about intuitive eating, there's probably a lot of fear, a lot of self-doubt, a lot of fear of failure that comes along with it. So today I want to bring you back to the basics, because sometimes it can get complicated. Sometimes I do these episodes and we're talking about higher level things. We're talking about mindset and like really strategic things to heal your relationship with food. But I want you to understand the basics of what intuitive eating really is, what it's not, and how it's actually the key to help you become the healthiest and happiest version of you. So in today's episode, I'm going to replay one of my most listened to episodes, which is actually episode number 2 of the podcast, Intuitive Eating 101. So even if you've listened to it before, listen to it again. You're probably going to notice that you're going to hear different things that you didn't hear the first time around, that you're going to understand different concepts in a different way. And if you're at a different stage in your journey, then you're going to be able to understand certain actions, certain beliefs, certain mindsets that you're now taking in a way that you couldn't before. So I'm going to play that recording for you of episode number 2. Enjoy. Hello, welcome back to the show. Today we are doing a solo episode, and as I was kind of formatting what I wanted to talk about in the show and how I wanted to present each concept when it came to intuitive eating and food freedom and behavior change, I really looked at the way that I teach my own clients because I need to meet them where they're at. And so I can't be starting with talking about making peace with food or making peace with your body if you don't even know what intuitive eating is. And so I need to bring up the kind of fundamental concepts right at the beginning and then build on that, so that when we have interviews talking about intuitive eating or when I talk about more in-depth concepts, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. And so today we're going to talk about intuitive eating 101, basically. We're going to talk about what intuitive eating is and how it can be the missing piece that you've been looking for all these years as you've been jumping from one diet to another, just wanting to be able to eat without guilt or constant fear of losing control and binge eating. And so I'm going to break it down for you and explain and define what intuitive eating is and what it's not, some of the common misconceptions. We're going to talk about the benefits of intuitive eating. And then we're also going to talk today about why dieting doesn't work and how intuitive eating could be kind of the solution to that. And so If we bring it back, you already know my personal story. If you've listened the past episode where I talk about my own journey with disordered eating and body dysmorphia that started when I was 15, 16 years old, I had no idea what intuitive eating was. And I would say that I really had no idea until just a couple of years ago. And it's funny, when you start getting interested in a certain topic or you start working in the field, you start thinking that everyone knows what you're talking about. And because I'm constantly reading books and listening to podcasts and doing research and my social media is just all about intuitive eating, of course, it becomes very easy to think that everyone knows about this concept. And it's really not this crazy revolutionary concept that we're going to talk about. It really is something that we're all born with. It's something that is human nature. And I'm going to get into this. But I know that some people have no idea what intuitive eating is. And so if that's you, then this episode is going to be really powerful for you. Now, there's a lot of problems going on in the health, wellness, and fitness industry right now. And unfortunately, with the rise of social media, allowing pretty much anyone to have a platform to spread information, often misinformation that hasn't been fact-checked by anyone. People can just influence people's behaviors without accountability. These problems are getting worse. And so these problems that I'm seeing is that, like I said, misinformation, no fact-checking, is getting spread to people who don't know better, who are really just vulnerable and desperate to feel better. And so they look at these quote-unquote experts, they look at these influencers, people who have really big followings, and they just take everything that the information that they're being presented at face value. And you can end up wasting years of your life, and not only wasting time, but really harming both your physical and mental health following this really bad advice. And not only is there a lot of misinformation, but we are being convinced that perfectionism, eating perfectly or eating quote unquote clean, over exercising, we're being convinced that the image of health means never eating anything that you love. It means completely cutting out sugar. We're being convinced into this idea of perfectionism when it comes to health and fitness that is really unrealistic, number one. It's very unsustainable, and it puts a lot of pressure on people. It makes people feel like they're not doing enough. It makes people afraid of food. It makes people hypervigilant. And in the end, that's really not helpful. It creates an all or nothing mentality. It makes people constantly be either on the wagon where you are striving for that perfectionism, or you're off the wagon where all the rules go out the window. And that kind of living in the two extremes is not the recipe for long-term health and happiness. So if you're doing one or more of the following things, so if you're spending a lot of time online researching different diets, weight loss tips, nutrition advice, meal plans, exercise routines, you're saving healthy recipes. If you right now, you can look at your social media and look at the kind of groups that you're a part of or the kind of accounts that you follow. And as a result, you end up feeling overwhelmed. You end up feeling confused. You end up feeling like you're not doing enough. If you are cutting out certain foods or certain food groups, so maybe you've been convinced that sugar is addictive and that you need to detox or you need to cut it out, or you've been convinced that carbs are not necessary and they're going to make you gain weight and they're going to make you unhealthy, then maybe you've cut them out. And as a result, you are constantly craving the things that you told yourself you can't have. You are looking at other people and wishing that you could just eat like them. You feel addicted to food. If you are constantly trying to follow meal plans or copy the way that other people are eating because you feel like it quote unquote worked for them. So you might look at your cousin Karen or your coworker who is telling you that intermittent fasting is the way, or keto or Weight Watchers. And as a result, you feel like you have to micromanage and obsess over everything that you eat. You are tracking your food. You're weighing your food. You are micromanaging every single calorie or carb. And you feel like your entire life revolves around food. then if you're doing even just one of these things and feeling these pains, then I can guarantee that you are not embodying intuitive eating, the intuitive eating approach to eating and living. And so the goal of this podcast is to fix that. The goal of this podcast is to help you find an approach to food that isn't rooted in shame, guilt, and restrictions that end up making you feel terrible, making you feel terrible about yourself, making you feel terrible mentally because your entire life revolves around food. The goal is to help you learn how to eat by listening to your body and to redefine what health really means and looks like so that you can enjoy taking care of your body and eating without overthinking every bite. What I always tell my clients when we start working together is that they're going to learn how to live with food without feeling controlled by it. So the goal is to help you do that through this podcast. And it's a journey. It is a process. And I know that it is a big ask to help you unlearn so many mindsets and behaviors that maybe you've been doing for 10, 20, 30 years, especially because I know how many different elements go into helping someone heal their relationship with food and their bodies, especially if you've been dieting for over, let's say, 2 years. And I've worked with women who have been dieting for the majority of their life. But the amazing news here is that no matter how long you've been struggling, doing the same behavior, stuck in the same patterns, intuitive eating is possible for absolutely anyone. It doesn't matter how broken or unmotivated or undisciplined you might feel, this is going to be something that is possible for anyone. So I'm going to progressively take you on that journey, giving you the tools, knowledge, resources that you need to start shifting your mindset and creating a positive relationship with food, with your body, and with yourself. And of course, I can't do that in just one episode. And so as you go through the guest interviews and the solo podcast where I'm going to bring up concepts to you, hopefully progressively, you're going to start going in the right direction. So first things first, let's define intuitive eating. It is, at its most fundamental level, a self-care eating framework, which integrates instinct, emotion, and rational thought. It is a weight-inclusive model, meaning that it works with people in all bodies. And it also works with people with medical conditions that restrict them from eating certain foods. And it emphasizes eating for health and a healthy relationship with food instead of for the purpose of shrinking your body at all cost. It is a philosophy of eating that makes you the expert on your body instead of constantly relying on other people to tell you how to eat. Instead, it teaches you that you are the best person. Your body is the best guide to make choices about what you need. It is evidence-based, meaning that there are over 100 studies showing its benefits both on our physical and mental health. This approach was developed by two registered dietitians, Evelyn Triboli and Elise Resch, in the mid-90s, but it's really not some revolutionary concept. If you think about it, basically intuitive eating is the way that we are all born to eat. Think of toddlers. Right? Think of toddlers when they are born and in their first few years, they eat when they're hungry and they will cry. They will cry until they get food, until they get fed. And then when they're full, they'll turn their head as they're breastfeeding or as they get a little bit older, they'll leave food on the plate. They have no problem listening to their body's hunger signals and deciding that their body has had what they need. And if you present a toddler with all foods. You give them a wide variety of food. You give them blueberries and chicken and cookies and chips, and you don't assign a certain judgment to any of these foods. You don't tell them if certain foods are good or bad. You don't make a comment about how much they've been eating chocolate. If you really just take a neutral approach to food, they will eat a wide variety of food. Sometimes they'll eat a little bit more chocolate on one day. Sometimes they'll eat a little bit more veggies on another day. But if you leave a toddler to make those choices for themselves, they will get a wide variety of food. But somewhere along the way, we lose that ability to eat intuitively if we, for some reason, go on a weight loss journey and we decide that we can't trust our bodies anymore to tell us what it needs. We have to trust experts. We have to trust an app. We have to listen to other people. And so the reason why so many people lose that ability to eat intuitively is not because there's something fundamentally broken about you or that you lack willpower or discipline. It's simply because you've been conditioned to believe that you can't trust your own body. And as we go on all of these different diets, we make the process of eating very confusing because our body is trying to tell us one thing, right? Through obsessive thoughts about food, through cravings, most of the time due to restrictions, due to not eating enough or not eating enough of certain foods. And our body stops communicating with us because it says, well, if she's just not listening to me anymore, why would I keep talking? So what does intuitive eating look like in real life? It's easy to understand it conceptually, but what does it look like in real life? It really means just you eat when you're hungry instead of telling yourself that you must just be thirsty or you probably should just go for a walk or it doesn't make sense that you're hungry, you ate an hour ago. It's eating when you're hungry, stopping when you're full, stopping when you're satisfied. I do want to mention that it is not the hunger and fullness diet, which is what some social media influencers might make it seem. There is a little bit more nuance to it. And in the program, we talk about the four types of hungers. There is physical hunger, there is emotional hunger, but there's two other types, which is practical and taste hunger, which needs to be taken into account as well. When you're an intuitive eater, you eat without guilt, without the emotional dilemma, without the shame and the regret. You don't label foods as good or bad. You see all foods as food, and some have different functions. Some have the function of nourishing your body, and some have the function of nourishing your soul. And the thing about intuitive eating is that it's a process. It is a journey. And if you are someone who has lost that ability to eat intuitively, then there is no pass or fail. You are constantly learning. You are leaning into curiosity and compassion, learning about what your body feels good doing, learning about how you want to eat, learning about your emotions around food. Instead of punishment and shame or this pass or fail that diet culture makes you believe health is, right? You're either on a diet, you're either losing weight, you're either on the wagon or you're completely off the wagon. That's not what intuitive eating is about. It is an opportunity to reconnect to your body. And in more of a tangible example, it's the freedom to, for example, choose a salad because it sounds good and it satisfies your need that day, but then choosing to have pizza the other day because of the same reason. It sounds good and it satisfies your need that day. It is spontaneous trips to the restaurant and ordering what you want, not what you think that you should be having, and knowing that you can trust your body to tell you what feels good and to stop when you're full. And I know that a huge win that my clients have is, oh my God, it's been, you know, 2 weeks that I've been on this journey and I'm already being able to bring leftovers home from a restaurant, which is unheard of for them. There's a lot of misconceptions as well about intuitive eating. And I think I'm going to do a full other episode on some of the myths about intuitive eating. But the biggest one that I see time and time again is it's just eat whatever you want, whenever you want, how much you want without any regards to health or nutrition. And I'm sure that right now you're listening and you might be thinking, oh my God, well, intuitive eating might sound great, but if I allow myself to not have restrictions and to stop dieting, then I am just gonna never stop eating and I'm only gonna eat junk food. Because maybe that's the experience that you've had in the past, right? When you've been either on the wagon and off the wagon. And when you're off the wagon, it seems like all rules go out the window, all bets are off, and you just eat everything in sight. And so what's really important to say is that because of the restriction, because of the dieting or the food rules, that's what triggers that out of control eating. But when you remove that phase one, when you remove the restriction and the food rules, then eventually you get to a point where you don't feel the need to go off the rails, where you don't feel the need to rebel or resist some plan or to completely lose control. because you are constantly feeding yourself in a way that feels good. You are constantly honoring your hunger and honoring your cravings. And so you get to that point of balance and moderation and consistency. And so you might have the underlying belief that is the self-monitoring through rules and restrictions that is essential to keep your appetite and your cravings under control. However, there are several studies that show that it's actually the restrictions and the food rules that is associated with weight gain, with decreased health, with overeating, emotional eating. And I want you to just look back on your experience. I want you to go back to the first time that you started struggling with food. What I normally see in the women that I work with is that the food and body image issues can usually be grouped up in different buckets of when it started. And so it might be when you were a child. Maybe you were struggling with your weight early on. Your parents may have been deep in diet culture at the time, and they associated weight with health, which we now know is not true. But they might have thought, okay, my daughter or my son is overweight or bigger than what I would expect them to. And so maybe you've been put on a diet early on. I think it's so tragic when I see some of the women that I've worked with who started Weight Watchers when they were 12 years old. And so that means that at 12 years old, you've been given the message that your body can't be trusted. And so you need an app or you need a point system, as if eating was a freaking video game, to moderate your eating. You can't trust your hunger, fullness, craving, satisfaction. Some external tool is going to come in and do that for you. And that is literally the equivalent of telling your 12-year-old daughter, you can't be trusted to regulate your own bladder function, right? You can't be trusted to know when you need to pee or when you've drank enough water. It's like telling your 12-year-old that they can't be trusted to know when they're tired, when they need to sleep. And so that might have started early on for you. It may have started a little bit later in university, when you started seeing your body change as it does as a teenager. That's around when it started for me, when I was 16 years old and I started getting wider hips and bigger thighs and bigger curves. And I thought, this isn't normal. My body shouldn't change this way. It may have started for you a little bit later on in your 20s. And a lot of the women that I work with, it started after having kids, where we have this deep desire to lose weight. And we think the best way to do that is to stop listening to my body and to start following these plans, these rules, these restrictions, start cutting back. But the reason why it's very important to look back on your diet history and see where the food obsession and the overeating and the feeling out of control around food started is because it usually correlates with this desire to lose weight, which makes us disconnect from our bodies and stop trusting it. So maybe you've believed that the restrictions and the rules have been the thing that have kept your eating in check. But all it really does is it keeps you in check for a very short period of time, and then it rebounds so much more intensely and so much stronger in the form of overeating and cravings. And we're going to talk about why that happens in a hot second. So let's talk about why you're here. Maybe you're here because you've been jumping from one diet to another for longer than you'd like to admit, and maybe things aren't feeling as good as you've been promised. Maybe you've gained and lost the same 20 to 30 pounds over and over again. And over time, you've actually gained more weight than when you originally started dieting. And when you originally started dieting, you went into it with the goal of losing weight. And my guess is that you had this goal of losing weight permanently. And you weren't told that dieting is actually one of the biggest predictors of long-term weight gain. Maybe you're here because you feel obsessed with food. More obsessed with food than ever before. You have uncontrollable cravings. You feel like your entire life just revolves around trying to shrink your body or trying to gain control of your eating. So first and foremost, I want to say that if that is you, you're not alone in this. You're not the only one disappointed and frustrated that dieting hasn't given you everything it's been promised. But I want to help you understand what goes on in your body and in your mind when you diet so that you can stop blaming yourself and you can start taking steps towards feeling better and implementing a new approach that is more compassionate, that is going to allow you to live in your body in a way that feels good and doesn't constantly revolve around obsession around food. So the problem with dieting is that your body perceives dieting and restricting and cutting back on your calorie intake as what it is, which is short-term starvation. And it doesn't take long for your body to start fighting back. I want you to remember that your body literally only wants what's best for you. It wants to keep you alive. And so for some people, this fighting back process might take a little bit longer. So that's why when people try to lose weight at first, you can usually keep it off for a decent amount of time, maybe a couple of months. Some even keep it off for a year or 2 years. And that's because your body's fighting back mechanism takes a little bit longer because it's the first time or the second time. But with every new attempt, your body starts anticipating it. It starts recognizing these patterns. Okay, we are going into starvation mode. We are going into scarcity mode. Scarcity is when we feel like not enough food is available. And so if you've ever experienced this feeling that with every new diet attempt, the weight comes back quicker and you have a harder and harder time sticking to it and it becomes shorter and shorter, that is literally just because your body is getting so smart. It is starting to recognize your patterns of, okay, she is trying to starve us. She is trying to restrict us. And so we are going to fight back right away because really all it wants is it wants you to be fed. It wants you to be nourished. So what this might look like is that your body is going to increase your hunger hormone and decrease your fullness hormones so that hopefully you'll start eating more. Because again, you might be perceiving going on a diet or trying to lose weight as this attempt to stop overeating, because you might think that the reason why you've gained weight is because you've been eating too much or even eating too much of the wrong things, which might be the case. But what people do instead of starting to look at, okay, how have these different foods been making me feel? How do I feel when I overeat? They really stop looking inwards and they just think, I just need to really cut back and I need to follow these generic plans. And so we do crazy things like trying to eat 1200 calories or trying to cut out carbs. We want the quick fix and our bodies don't like that. They don't like being underfed. They don't like lacking the basic nutrients like carbs, or if you've been someone who's done low fat, like fat, your body knows that it needs all of this stuff. And so it's going to change the hormone function in your body, telling you, hopefully, you'll start eating more and appropriately. At the same time, your body is going to increase hormones related to your stress response, like cortisol, because dieting is a huge stressor, not only on your body because you're restricting it from things that it needs to function optimally, but also on your mental health. I want you to think about when you are constantly obsessing over calories or carbs or portion control. It probably feels like 99% of your headspace is being consumed with thoughts about food and your body, which is a huge stressor on your brain. It also will increase your cravings for calorie-dense food because it sees what you're doing as an environmental stressor. It thinks that there is food scarcity, like there is not enough. And so your body is going to try to drive you towards those foods that have more calories because it doesn't know when the next time is going to have access to enough fuel, to enough energy. And so it tries to drive you again towards those things that are going to help you store up on what it needs. It's also going to decrease your thyroid activity. It's going to decrease your metabolic rate, which is the rate at which your body can use that energy to convert that energy. It's going to slow everything down because it wants to focus on just keeping you alive and focus on those bodily functions that are essential. And so it's going to start using less and less calories to optimally function, which is why you might feel like with every new diet attempt, you have to eat less and less, and yet your body is still gaining weight over time. Because of your decreased thyroid activity, you might also have low energy. You might feel lethargic. You might be less interested in exercise because of the low energy. And then you can see how all of this, the increased cravings, the decreased energy, the lack of desire to move your body, all of this can lead to weight gain, which leads us to want to go back to dieting without realizing that it's not the solution. It's what caused all of this in the first place. And so if you're familiar with the dieting cycle, it starts with this desire to control your weight, to want to lose weight, and is fueled by fat phobia in our society. So the next thing that we do, we diet and we restrict our food intake. As a result, our body feels deprived. It senses food scarcity, which leads us to have intense food cravings and the urge to eat. That is where the obsessive thoughts about food come in, the obsessive thoughts about the food that you can't eat. At this point, you are solely relying on willpower and self-control, which is a temporary resource. It runs out, and I can do a whole other episode on willpower in the future, but you get to a point where you cannot possibly hold that kind of willpower and a focus because you have a busy life and there are times where you just want to have a cookie. So you break the diet. But because you've been restricted for so long and your body is finally feeling like it's having the thing that it's been craving for so long, you're not just going to have the one cookie or the one piece of cake or the one small portion of chips. It's probably going to turn into a binge, into overeating, into feeling out of control around food. And that leads to feelings of guilt and of shame and embarrassment. Maybe the weight is going to come back. And then that leads us right back to where we started, which is the need to control, to want to lose weight, which is what fueled this cycle in the first place. And when people are trying to sell you all these fancy diets or meal plans and they give you all of these false promises, they don't talk about the consequences of chronic dieting. And it's kind of insane to think that if dieting came with a long list of the side effects, the same way that we are given the long list of side effects for medication, no one would do it. If you went to a doctor and they told you that they had this pill that would fix your health problems, but it had a 95% failure rate, and the other 5% who do succeed have a bunch of side effects as well, like food obsession, like living your entire life feeling obsessed with maintaining that extreme level of rigidity around exercise, around food, no one would do it. It would be outlawed. It wouldn't make it to the market. But yet dieting is so unregulated and no one talks about the side effect. And so some of the consequences of chronic dieting, number one, is increased risk of eating disorder. And this one hits home for me because I've struggled with one myself, and eating disorders are extremely hard to pull yourself out of. And so studies show that 25% of dieters will develop an eating disorder. And this doesn't necessarily mean anorexia. It could be anorexia, binge eating disorder, bulimia, orthorexia. And this one also hits me particularly hard because I work with a lot of mothers. And what we need to really understand is that our behaviors are passed down to the people who are learning from us. When we are born, our brains are a blank slate. We take in the information from our environment. And so we look at people's behaviors. We look at people's language. We take that in as fact, as truth. And I've had so many women approach me wanting to work with me, wanting to get help. Yes, for themselves. Yes, because of their health, because of their mental sanity, but also because they had daughters and they didn't want to pass down their behaviors to these girls who are so young and have an entire life ahead of them. And perhaps you can trace back your own mindsets around food and your body to the way that you were raised, to your caregivers and their mindsets and language around food and their bodies. And so, like I said, 25% of dieters will develop an eating disorder. Chronic dieting is also linked to weight cycling. That means constantly going up and down in weight, losing and gaining the same 20, 30 pounds. And we know now that weight cycling is actually worse for your health. It is worse for your body than just maintaining a consistent but higher weight. We also know that chronic dieting has been linked to increasing your set point weight, meaning the weight at which your body can fall at in a comfortable and healthy manner. And so over time, that set point weight will get higher and higher and higher. Dieting has also been linked to increased risk of heart disease, higher cholesterol levels, premature death. It disconnects you from your body, making normal eating very hard and confusing. It increases binge eating and emotional eating. It also has very negative impacts on emotional and mental health, your social life. Think of how this chronic obsession with food may have affected your relationships with your friends. I know for me in university, when I was deep in my disordered eating, I lost a lot of friends because I was terrified to go out to restaurants. I was so dedicated to waking up at 6 a.m. every single morning to over-exercise and spend 2 hours at the gym that I no longer wanted to go out. When you're constantly living in your head and your entire life revolves around what you should or shouldn't be eating, it's very hard to be fully present and engaged in your life. And not only that, but we know that dieting costs a lot of money, it costs effort, and it costs a lot of time. And most people, unfortunately, find themselves 20, 30 years later with thousands of dollars down the drain with nothing to show for it except for more weight gain, more obsession around food, lower self-esteem, feeling like a failure, and a lot of time wasted. So we've seen what intuitive eating is, how dieting might not be jiving with your body. So how do we know that intuitive eating is right for you? So there's been over 100 studies since the 90s. And what we see across the board is that the people who identify as intuitive eaters, meaning that they allow themselves to have all foods, they listen to their bodies instead of external control mechanisms, they feel no guilt or shame about their food choices. Those intuitive eaters has been shown to have lower rates of disordered eating, lower triglycerides, which is linked to your bad cholesterol, lower rates of emotional eating, lower rates of self-silencing, meaning suppressing your own thoughts, suppressing your own feelings, suppressing your own needs, less out of control eating, less binge eating, less weight bias internalization. That means less fat phobia, a more positive body image. They've had a lower blood pressure, lower rates of body dissatisfaction. Intuitive eaters also have higher self-esteem, higher well-being and optimism. They eat a wider variety of foods. They have more body appreciation and satisfaction. They have a higher good cholesterol, HDL cholesterol. They have higher introspective awareness, which is that capacity to know what is going on internally, to know what your body needs. Intuitive eaters have more pleasure from eating and as a result are more capable of eating when they're full and satisfied instead of overeating. This is something that we talk about in my program, which is the difference between stopping when you're full and stopping when you're satisfied. And there's a very big difference between fullness and satisfaction. One is on a physical level, the other one is on an emotional level. And sometimes you can be physically satisfied. You could have eaten the food, but not be emotionally satisfied because you're not eating the things that you want. So you end up overeating, searching that thing that you are missing. Intuitive eaters also have better proactive coping skills, meaning that they're better at stress management. They have more psychological hardiness. They have a higher life satisfaction. So overall, studies have linked intuitive eating to healthier psychological attitudes, a lower BMI, although intuitive eating does not focus on weight loss. It has been linked to better weight maintenance. And one of the major benefits of intuitive eating is just better psychological health. And not only that, but intuitive eating interventions also have much better retention rates, meaning that people are more likely to stick with this approach and keep practicing the behavioral changes that improve their health than they would on a diet. So I know that you might be listening to all of this and it might sound totally backwards and counterintuitive. The idea that healthy has a look, that you have to have a certain shape or size to be healthy. I know for me, when I was really struggling with my eating disorder, I was convinced that if I didn't have a six-pack ab, or if I didn't have a thigh gap, or if I didn't look like the fitness models that I was seeing on Instagram, then that necessarily meant I wasn't as healthy as I could be. That meant that I wasn't eating perfectly enough, that I wasn't exercising enough. We've been taught the idea that improving your health requires being obsessive about eating and exercise. This is a message that we receive 24/7. And so you might be looking at all of this and thinking, what? Intuitive eating, it encourages eating the foods that you love. It encourages not being obsessive about eating. It encourages self-compassion. And the thing about intuitive eating is the one big misconception is that it's anti-health. And that couldn't be further from the truth. Being non-diet, being anti-diet means being pro-health. Because if you've been dieting for years and years and you are feeling more unhappy and unhealthy than ever before, this is not because of a core flaw within you. It's probably because the approach that you're taking to getting healthier and happier is not working, and maybe it's time to try a new way. So if you are at a point in your life where you're just done, you're tired of thinking about food, being obsessed with everything that you're eating, with your weight, and you feel like you keep letting the size of your body dictate the size of your life, and you know that you're holding yourself back. You know that there is so much more out there. There's so much of your potential that you haven't tapped into, but food is like this one thing that you haven't been able to solve. This one issue that is constantly looming over you and making you feel like a failure, affecting your self-esteem, affecting your relationships, affecting your ability to fully engage in life. And I always talk about this front porch test of, you know that when you get to the end of your life, let's say you're 80, 90 years old, and you look back, if you continue to keep going down the path that you're on right now, you're going to be filled with so much sadness and so much regret that this is how you decided to spend your one life on earth. And if you're ready to make a change, and yes, you might be fearful, and yes, you might have concerns and self-doubt, but you know that you're currently living your worst case scenario. So what do you have to lose? And you want to be in an environment where you're going to be supported, you're going to have guidance, and you're going to have structure to learn how to become an intuitive eater without completely losing control and trying to figure it out on your own and feeling frustrated and feeling lost, like really being able to have that guidance, then I so encourage you to join us inside the 3-day intuitive eating challenge. It starts on May 9th. It is going to be so valuable, so action-packed. You're going to be surrounded by community. The energy is always incredible during these free trainings. So you can go to the show notes or to the link sabrinamagnon.com/challenge. And I can't wait to see you on the inside. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. If you found it valuable, I would love if you would share it with someone you know that could benefit. If you're loving the show, don't forget to subscribe over on Apple Podcasts so you don't miss a single episode. I really love hearing feedback from you, so please leave a rating and review over on Apple to help us get in the ears of more people who need it the most. Finally, come hang out with me on Instagram at Sabrina Magnon Health for more educational content and get up close and personal with me. Thank you so much for being here, and I'll see you on the next episode.